Well, most people understand HIV is a very simple model. HIV is a virus. It's transmitted mostly by sex, sometimes by dirty needles, and it produces a fatal disease known as AIDS. What people don't know is that the term AIDS is very difficult to define, and somebody with AIDS in Africa probably will not have AIDS in America, and vice versa.
That's quite interesting, that someone with AIDS in Africa may not have AIDS in America. Why?
Well, in 1986, international organizations, not African organizations, met in the city of Bangui, and they created what's become known as the Bangui definition, where somebody who has weight loss greater than 10% of their body weight, persistent fever, persistent cough, persistent diarrhea, itchy rash, if you have three of those symptoms without an HIV test, you're classified as AIDS according to the Bangui definition. And if HIV testing is used in Africa, it's generally according to much lower standards than in the United States, Canada, and Europe. In America, on the other hand, in 1993, they not only had 30 different diseases, which generally, when accompanied by an HIV test, qualified as AIDS, but they also allowed people who had a low immune cell count, known as the CD4 cell, along with a positive HIV test, without any disease at all, to be classified as AIDS. So you have the situation where in America, the majority of new AIDS cases are in healthy people, people who have no disease, whereas in Africa, everybody classified as AIDS has a disease, but it's very, very generic, and it could be caused by parasitic infections, dirty water, malaria, tuberculosis, many other underlying causes are all blamed on HIV because they're all classified as AIDS.
From the scientists who have actually been working on this particular concept, in your interaction, have you realized that they also have problems really defining the disease and why?
Well, HIV is simply defined as a virus, but the problem is there is no test for HIV the virus. And what that means is you can only claim that you have HIV by using a test, usually an antibody test. Now, for most viral diseases, antibodies are considered a sign of immunity. If you develop antibodies to most diseases, that means that you won't get the disease again. But with HIV, they use these antibody tests to say that you actually have the virus, and they have so little confidence in the test that in richer countries where they can afford to do this, they will test up to four times before they tell somebody they're HIV infected. But there's really no justification for stopping at four tests. These tests are unvalidated. In other words, nobody has proven that these antibodies are actually produced only after infection with a particular virus.
So are we saying that the concept that you are using to describe HIV/AIDS is similar to just a symptom of any other disease that could actually affect any person?
Well, we don't exactly know what the HIV test means, but it does seem to measure the quantity of antibodies in your body, and therefore, if somebody is exposed to a lot of health challenges, this could be because they're drinking dirty water in Africa, or it could be because they're injecting drugs in Italy or America. If people are exposed to many challenges, their body will generate more antibodies because there's more stuff that their body's trying to deal with. And it appears like the HIV test, if it does anything, is it kind of measures the quantity of antibodies in your body. What that means is that sick people are more likely to test positive, but it does not mean that they have the virus called HIV. As I said before, the reason for that is that the tests have never been validated, never been proven to show that a virus is present.
We have orthodox view of HIV/AIDS. This particular orthodox view has been accepted by a lot of people, and so the new critical aspect of examining the views that are being given to us is lacking in some communities. And I just want to have your thoughts on this particular state.
Well, it's not just lacking, it's actively censored. For example, Dr. Peter Duisberg, who is one of the most famous of the critics of the HIV-AIDS theory, he first published a major scientific paper claiming that HIV was not the cause of AIDS in 1987, when he was considered to be one of the top virologists in the world. Dr. Peter Duisberg had a paper accepted for publication in a journal about a year ago, and also a group of Italian researchers that also questioned the HIV-AIDS model also had a paper accepted for the same journal. When drug treatment activists heard about this, they lobbied the publisher of the scientific journal, and the papers were withdrawn from the journal, the editor was fired, and the journal was closed. That's the kind of thing that happens if anybody publishes alternative information in a scientific journal. So consequently, relatively few people know about the debate because it is actively censored. And that's why the orthodox view is dominant, is because there will be thousands of articles every day written according to the orthodox view, but very few articles written that question the orthodox view.
Now, looking at the example you just gave, does that mean that there is a serious or concrete attempt by some superpowers to suppress the other side of the HIV-AIDS issue?
What I think it is, I don't think it's an active conspiracy or anything like that, but I think what it is that the medical establishment is trained to blame every disease on germs, occasionally on genes, and therefore, no matter what the disease is that comes along, they keep looking for a virus. And the question is not, is this disease caused by a virus? The question is, which virus causes this disease? They've already decided that it's caused by a virus. And so as soon as they find a test that appears to show that people who have this disease, it seems to be positive more often in people who have the disease, they claim that they have found the cause. And another aspect of the medical system is it's a very strictly controlled hierarchy. Doctors take orders from senior doctors. Senior doctors take orders from institutions. Institutions are heavily lobbied by pharmaceutical companies. And down at the other end of the line, doctors give orders to nurses and to nurses' assistants. And so the entire system can be run very easily by a few people at the top, people like Robert Gallo or Luc Montagnier, saying this is the truth and it will be accepted by everybody in the system, because nobody at a lower level of the system dares question what they're told from above.
Now, will you say that pharmaceutical companies and other agencies that are working in connection with, as they claim, fighting against HIV-AIDS, are afraid that they may be out of business, so even if they have knowledge of the other side of the argument, they will have to suppress it?
Well, it's not just that the pharmaceutical companies will be out of business. The drugs that are used for AIDS directly interfere with DNA synthesis. They directly interfere with the division of cells. What this means is the drugs kill people. They destroy your ability to produce blood cells. They destroy your ability to produce muscle. So the drug companies are not only going to necessarily lose sales, but they may be at the receiving end of massive lawsuits. In fact, the lawsuits against the drug companies would be so big that it would be impossible for the drug companies to do anything except go out of business.
So, are you saying that the drugs that are being produced, for example, the antiretroviral drug that is being supplied to people, is in a way helping to kill people?
Yeah, one of the most popular AIDS drugs is a drug known as AZT, which was first approved in 1987. AZT is still given in combination to many people. It's still given to mothers, pregnant women. AZT emulates a portion of DNA. As you probably know, DNA is made up of four bases. A, C, G, T, their acronyms. AZT is an analog for thymidine, which is one of the four DNA bases. One molecule of DNA will stop a chain of DNA from dividing. What this means is that if one molecule of AZT will cause a cell to die, to not reproduce, or to reproduce incorrectly with the wrong number of chromosomes. This can cause cancer or birth defects, many other things. And if AZT is not used, generally another drug of a similar type, known as a nucleoside analog class, is used instead. So these are extremely dangerous chemical compounds.
Wow, that is interesting. Now, if you look at Africa, we are told that people here are suffering from disease than any other continent in the world. You think that this is actually a correct data?
Well, people in Africa are suffering from a lot of diseases, and a lot of them are caused by Western countries through the exploitation of minerals, through the suppression of democracy, through the encouragement of plantation agriculture. People are suffering from malnutrition because they've been moved off the land due to war, due to capitalist economics, which causes a few people to own a lot of the land. People end up in slums in cities where it's very difficult to get a good diet that includes fresh fruit and vegetables, so people are very malnourished. On top of this, many people in Africa do not have access to clean water. These are the basic fundamental problems in Africa, and this simple idea that a virus is causing the diseases that have always existed in Africa, and that is not the fault of the West, it's not the fault of corrupt African governments, the idea is just crazy.
What do you think we can do, African countries can do, to actually maybe change the state or the situation as it stands now?
Well, I think Africans can educate themselves, and I think one thing that's very important for people who've been colonized in the past is to have a lot more self-confidence. Africans are just as smart as people with white skins. They can understand this, and just because people who earn a very high salary come over from America or Europe and tell you what to do doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. The fact that those people are better paid than many Africans is because they're working for big institutions or big corporations that are making a lot of money out of the AIDS theory. So their words are not just based on their education. In many cases, their words are twisted by their financial conflicts of interest. Even if they're not working for a drug company, they may be working for an organization like UNAIDS. And they won't have a job if they don't stick to the party line. So I think it's really important that Africans do not believe everything they're told, that they think for themselves, that they educate themselves as much as possible. And if they have access to the Internet, much of the information that questions the HIV-AIDS theory is available, for example, through the RethinkingAIDS.com website. I'm the president of Rethinking AIDS. Places like that are places where you can get unfiltered information that criticizes the HIV-AIDS theory.